issues related to how we understand and live out God's will in our lives. And we looked at a couple of these Sunday. Really, we're focusing now on church practices. What are things we need to do in a collective sense? This is important stuff because there's a lot of variety. I mean, if you went to 50 different churches, you'd probably get 50 different church experiences. So what we're trying to do is not figure out what do we like the best or whatever, but really what's God's will, right? So we're going to look at a few different issues. If you didn't get a lesson on Sunday, we're doing the same lesson. It's a continuation from Sunday. But if you don't have a lesson, you can raise your hand. Clayton has some copies, so no shame. It's all right. Just raise your hand because this will help you. Because as we go, we're going to continue doing the small group type stuff, trying to figure out some specific things about what is God's will, right? You remember some of these principles. This is a collection of the first few classes of things that we looked at in the Scripture. How do we figure out what God wants us to do, right? So one thing is we got to base our perspectives and practices on the Scripture. That's where we got to start. Let me make this not look weird. There we go. Oh yeah, there we go. So that's number one. Everything we're getting is from the Scriptures. We're not trying to take our cues from anything else, which means we got to leave our personal and cultural baggage at the door, which is a hard thing to do and probably something we never perfectly do, but we're always trying more and more to make sure we're really seeking the Lord. And in these, as we think about any issue, what we got to think about is who we're serving and who's speaking to us. We got to think about the character of God and have that as our primary, kind of at the forefront of everything. But then once you've thought about God and you're looking in the Scriptures, okay, what has God said to me or shown me? If you remember the Gospel of John, Jesus said, I always do the things that please the Father. Anything the Father has said, that's what I say and I do. And the things the Father shows me, those are the things that I do and that I say, right? Now, some things aren't super clear because of the details that we get, so we got to think about general biblical principles that provide a framework for specific questions and issues. And we also want to give careful attention to the details. So both on a macro level, we got to look big picture, and also on a micro level, we got to look at the specific details to try to understand what God wants. And all along the way, the only way we're going to be able to do God's will is if we make sure to maintain humility in our hearts and honesty in the way we think about the Scriptures and what God's will is for us. Does anyone want to say anything about these? Maybe somebody has thought, I mean, we keep on reviewing these because they're really the foundation, and these aren't just things we just pulled out of the air. We tried to look at what did Jesus and what did the early Christians do and say and teach and so forth. But I don't know, anybody want to add anything or say anything, make a comment about any of this stuff? All right, cool. So, we're in lesson 11. Lesson 12, we're going to look at, it's going to be a, it may seem like a diversion, but hopefully it kind of is an extension of what we're doing here. Which we're going to look at just how do you study the Bible? Like what are some tools, some things that we can do to try to help us actually on a personal level be better Bible students? Because if we're going to understand God's will, you're not going to get it if you just show up here. We've got to do it on a personal level, studying the Word and learning and growing in all these things, right? And then we'll think about some attitude type things when we think about God's will at the end. Okay, so where we left off on Sunday was what are women's roles in the church? So that's what we're actually get going with here in just a minute. So before we get rolling with that though, Sam Friesmeyer, would you mind leading us in a prayer? Amen. All right, so what's the role of women in the church? Do they have a role? If so, what is it, right? Is their role exactly the same as men? Is it, you know, over men? What's the deal? What's going on with women's roles in the church? So we're going to break out in groups like we've been doing, and hopefully you got your lesson sheet that has some Bible verses you can look at. And feel free to think about other Bible verses that you know of, right? You're not limited to the ones that we put on the lesson sheets. These are just a few that we put to kind of get you rolling. But you may want to bring in some sort of example or, you know, something like that to try to affirm biblical truth, right? So a few things to think about. Look for some of those explicit statements, some of those just facts or commands that God gives or whatever. Look for explicit things that are stated. And look for examples. Like, so this is kind of the easiest thing. Remember all those other things, the character of God, general framework, all that stuff. But just look for what are some things that God said and some things that God showed in the Scriptures, particularly the Scriptures that Jesus and His apostles laid down. But also, don't forget about the rest of Scripture. Don't limit yourself to the New Testament. There may be some Old Testament principles that may help you to think through this, okay? All right, so we're going to spend 6 or 5 or 6, 7 minutes, something like that, everybody talking and trying to figure this thing out. Try to come up with as much as you can and in as far-reaching as you can about what the Scriptures teach about women's roles in the church. Is that clear? All right, figure it out, and we'll figure it out all together.
The other side of this issue, and I don't know if you remember what I said on Sunday or not, but I'll kind of restate it before we group together and we talk about what God's will is on this subject of women's role. And I said on Sunday that I was going to play the part of saying that women had come a long way in history. You figure out what period of time that is. Women are smart now. They're great teachers. And the teachings in the Bible about women's role as it comes to teaching are outdated. And tonight I'll take it a little bit further and I'll say that the statements that Paul and others made about women's roles with respect to teaching were things that were only to apply to a certain group of people for a certain group of certain amount of time. So temporary instructions to a limited audience. So that's my position. Not really, but that's my position. That's a position you hear a lot of people share. I'd like us to break up into groups. Again, use these principles here. Okay, you did. Oh, no. You gave them way too short a period of time. Okay. Wow. Okay. All right, so what are the answers? What are the answers? What's that? Obey God. Okay. That's the easy one. Support what and how? What way? Okay. Okay, so there is a role. You have a verse for that or a principle? Okay. So there are verses that talk about women teaching and training. What's the context of that you hear about? Who are they teaching? Other women, younger women, I heard spouses, all good answers. Okay. Jenny. Yeah. That's a good point. So I hope everyone heard that. So the focus is often a negative, what can't be done, instead of focusing on all the commandments on what should be done. And the limitations are pretty few. Other comments? Good stuff so far. Yeah. Good. So I got two things out of that. We want to do what God's will is, and how we do it's important regardless of gender. And this also doesn't go to a matter of equality. It goes to a matter of a different role. One plays a different role than another. And I think we often do lose that very quickly in the discussion. We focus on the negative. We make it an issue of equality rather than one person being tasked to do one thing or the other. And in this context, we get really kind of wanky on it, and it drives us crazy because people see it as being something that they're being held back or being restricted to do. And in our own lives, it seems like we all play different roles and we're all equal, and no one really has a problem with that. But on this one, it really kind of drives people a little bit crazy. More comments? Yes, ma'am. Okay. Great. Good. So people in their own minds put high esteem on positions that are in public view, kind of putting those in the corner of lesser preeminence. They don't like that. That's a good point. Hadn't thought of that one. So would you have your hand up? Yeah. Good. Thank you for that, Janice. Okay, good. So you got a verse there, James. Okay. Thank you for addressing that. I think that is a common thing that you hear today when you hear people talk about these issues, is the idea that it was somehow limited in scope or limited in time. And in that example, Paul was certainly talking about something grander than just one place, one time. Sam? Good. Thank you. Yes, Mike. It's the same over all time, and it's not going to somehow get better as we change or evolve as a society. It's based on what God wants in His understanding of what we need and what's best for us. So I got a bunch of verses up here that I think a lot of you have already mentioned. Really, when it comes to commands, I put some of the same verses that we had up here from Sunday about how we're supposed to be worshiping together in an orderly manner, with reverence and awe. The passage there talking about older women teaching to younger women. We have a class going on in the back tonight. adult women teaching other adult women on how to teach. Certainly authority for that in a principle and something that we need to be doing. Talking about precedent-setting examples, and you guys have already kind of mentioned all of these, the verse in 1 Corinthians chapter 14 and the verse in Timothy as well. And I also put in there 1 Timothy chapter 3 and verse 15 that this whole list of instructions that Paul was giving, including how women were supposed to participate in the service, it was all part of how to conduct yourself in the house of God. So it was all directly related to things that would please God. And some of these principles, I think, well, we already covered some of these as well. I wanted to really emphasize this one, 1 Corinthians 14, 36 through 38. These are commands of the Lord. This is not Paul's personal bias, his personal disposition. He makes a distinction on things that are his own personal view and things that he's speaking as the Word of God. And all these things, he's speaking directly as the Word of God. I'm not going to take the time to go through all of these. If you want these, we can. I can print these out for you. I did reference the passage here in Acts chapter 9, just to show, and there's a lot of other examples as well, that because a woman is playing her role as a woman, certainly is not limiting in any way at all. We see a lot of women in the New Testament doing good works, being praised for good works, and their roles being very effective and very important. I think someone made that comment earlier, that certainly this doesn't go to the abilities or lack of abilities or capabilities or lack of capability or usefulness of any gender to serve God. It's about playing the role as it is laid out. Okay, so I'm going to give you a little bit of homework tonight. Maybe tonight after class so you don't forget. This issue is always, I want to say it's a new issue. It's really not a new issue at all, right? It's been around for a very long time. If you go home and you Google, I'm just going to give you a couple words here that will link you to it really quickly. Meet Lauren King. This is a young woman who is a preaching intern at a church in Tennessee. It's kind of interesting. Listen to it. Go through it. But listen for the argumentation on the side of why this is okay. It's very important, and I think if you do that, you'll flash back to some of the things that we've talked about earlier in our class. And I'm going to highlight them for you, and hopefully you can call them out as you go through the interview. But this is kind of the things that I caught out of this. First of all, that culture is changed, and that really God's will is a reflection of culture, and that things in the past are really traditional, kind of to Mike's point earlier, things are outdated. As things over time change, we should change, and God's will changes as well. And that was back in our categorization of additions to the Bible. And then also, this idea that the Spirit is speaking to us directly and in a different way than we have from God's Word, you'll hear that through the interview very clearly, that one of the fundamental justifications for this change in roles is being called to, being spoken to by God. So we can apply these things, again, on any context, any subject, but I think if you listen to this, you'll see these things come out really strongly. And then also, our own experience and kind of a better understanding. So you'll hear this in the interview as well. We've done these things in the past. This is viewed as an improvement over the traditions that we've had before about roles. This is an improvement. And I think, as you can see there from my graphics on the top of the slide here, it's not necessarily the improvement. It's a modification or a filtering. It's a fundamental change in what God has said on the subject. And then the last couple there, number 7, as well, that, hey, if this doesn't fit with what I understand to be right and my own pre-existing ideas about equality, what's right and wrong and roles, then it really doesn't fit. And that kind of goes down to the little pictures I had at the bottom there, what's in my heart, what feels right, what seems right to me in my brain. If you got time, listen to that. Again, you could apply almost any issue about what God's will is for an activity or a church practice and kind of fill in that blank. But you can see in this interview that all seven of these things really come out pretty strongly. And the last one point I want to make on this, in my hypothetical about this issue, I said that, hey, don't worry about those couple of verses that we've got from Paul in the New Testament. People will often use that logic on any teaching or any practice that they don't like or that they want to bring in. And I'd refer us back to this kind of list of passages that we had when we talked about how the apostles and how Christ viewed the scriptures and their own teaching. There's a lot of verses here, and if you read through these, it's very clear that the apostles, Paul, that wrote these passages we talk about tonight, very much so meant for them to be taken as the Word of God, to be applied, to be used in their life, and be shared with other churches and congregations. So if we want to say, in particular on this issue, hey, I don't like these two verses don't kind of reverse all the other teaching in the Bible, I don't know where we draw the line on how many verses or who has to say what on the subject before it to be authoritative. The apostles certainly believed that their teaching were authoritative and were from God. So we're going to have to make a choice to accept these things and accept them as being representative of God's will, or making a choice that we're going to ignore them. But when we start ignoring them, we have to realize that we're getting away from what God would have us to do. Any more comments on this one before we move on? Yes, sir. Yes, it's Meet Lauren King. L-A-U-R-E-N. Yeah. And I recommend it, again, as something where you can see the defense and the teaching. I'm going to let you look at scriptures and the verses we've got and make your own conclusions, but I want you to pay close attention to the logic behind this change in position. And I think you'll see pretty quickly it falls into one of those seven categories that we talked about in this class. Okay, so we're on to our next case study, which is, how are Christians supposed to conduct a song service and worship? And I'm going to throw a little bit of a curveball here. I'm not going to tell you that we should roll in a piano or use instruments. I'm going to tell you, as you break into your groups, that a lot of us aren't that great as singers, and that we should only have a select group of people that are singing in the worship service. Some people might actually like that. You know, it may make our visitors feel uncomfortable to sing. So we're going to bring a special group of people. Maybe we'll put them up here in these rows or whatever. And that's how we're going to conduct singing. We're going to have some people sing to us, and we'll be an audience. And what do you all think about that? So break up into your groups. 5 minutes. Remember, we're looking for verses in scriptures are always good. Examples are great. Old Testament principles, those are really good as well. Come back to me with some answers on what we're supposed to do, and maybe you can help me understand what my suggestion is not the right thing to do. All right, thanks. That's kind of hard for me to do by proxy if I ask someone else to sing praises to God on my behalf. I guess I could do that, but God is our Father, and as we have that relationship with Him, certainly He's looking for words that are coming from our mouth, words that are coming from our heart to express our love for Him, our praise for Him, our adoration of Him. That's all part of our relationship with Him directly. Yes. Yes.
So that's why you almost have to have, you know,
Absolutely. So I appreciate that about the fact that God made your lips and made your voice. And it really, when you think about prayer, and people are don't really know what to say in prayer or how to say in prayer, those words and that mouth, God gave them to use in any way they choose, and hopefully they'll use it to sing songs of praise to Him and offer prayer to Him in their best way. But I'm sure God is focused on the condition of the heart rather than the sound or the words. Jason. Very good. Yeah, songs are very powerful in helping you remember things. Probably remember songs you haven't heard for 10 years, and you hear a word or a line or a verse, and you remember the words. Janice. Help them remember. Very powerful tool to remember and instill things in our brains. All good points. I don't know if you're like me, but I'll find myself sometimes on a Tuesday driving into work remembering a song that we sang on Sunday, and it will come in my brain, and I'll start to think about it and start to sing it and remember the words and remember what the words mean. More so sometimes than things that I've read or I've heard other people say. Very powerful, and God knows that and understands that. So He wants us involved in that. And if you look in scriptures and you look at commandments, all the verses that you guys talked about are certainly there. There's commandments that we're supposed to speak to one another in song, make music to God in our hearts. All those things are very, very clear that there are things that we're supposed to carry out. And then when you want to go to examples, we have Jesus singing with the disciples, Paul and Silas singing. There's countless examples of where people got together and sung. And the underlying principle here, it's an expression of happiness. I think someone covered off on that one as well. It certainly is worship to God. It's a benefit to us. It's beneficial to those that are around us as we think about it as a collective activity. Then also, if you go back to the Old Testament here, there's a lot of examples, and it was prophesied that people would be singing about Jesus' praises. A lot of examples where God used song for His people to focus on Him and as a way to worship Him and communicate with Him. So my scenario that I started out with class was with a kind of a crude hypothetical. I think we kind of beat that one up. You could take all these verses and concepts here and apply them to some of the other areas that we often get into a bit of controversy over when it comes to worshiping with God. You look at these, you don't see any of these involving people being entertained by a group singing. You don't see any of these as people being entertained by a band or a group or some sort of accompaniment. It's not there. It's not in the command. It's not in the example. It's not even in the principle of what we're trying to accomplish as we understand God's will is on this subject. I think I skipped a hand. Did I see a hand? Doug. Very good. Appreciate that. You know, sorry I'm late tonight. We're going to continue this class on Sunday. So you're going to be stuck with me for one more class period. We're going to do at least two more church practices or activity. On Sunday, we're going to talk about the Lord's Supper, and we're going to talk about prayer. A lot of different teachings on what should be involved with both of these things. We're going to do the same thing. We're going to look into the Scriptures and find commands, examples, and principles that we can understand the reason for the things that we do together. Appreciate everyone being here tonight. We've got more lesson 11s if you want on the table. There's also going to be lesson 12, which will be our final class next Wednesday night. It will be out there as well for you. Thank you.